W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios, this is the WTH Podcast.
What up? From Studio A at the Darling New Media Studios. Not Studio B, Studio A. We have Dos Studios. If you have a podcast and you're looking for a place to do it that isn't your basement, your couch, your spare room, if your spouse is getting on your nerves with their podcast, and you're like, do you have to do that here? No, they can come here and do it.
They can come here and do it.
Mm-hmm. Come on down.
Hit us up, darlingnewmedia.com. Email me, nate@darlingnewmedia.com.
Bring your smoke, your drink. Be down here. Have a good time.
I swear to God, I'm going to beat you with my shoe. Beat you with my Birkenstocks.
Oh, man. I can't wait to Hotbox Studio. Hey!
All local laws apply.
Dang.
You take that shit down to the Cracker Barrel, Junior. Take that shit down to the Cracker Barrel, Junior.
Thanks. Dank, smokes and stank.
By the way, I have a question. So just across the street here and down the block a little bit, there is a Jenny Craig, okay?
All right.
Okay, there's three businesses in that building.
Okay.
There's the Jenny Craig, there's the Mel's Diner, and a steak place. I want to say cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That seems like odd placement to me.
Yeah.
Not helpful at all.
No.
Just saying.
It's heat myself. It's like trial by fire.
So craziness. So back again. It's Friday as you're listening to this, or afterward, whatever.
Yeah, Friday.
So I wanted to start with a little chit chat like we often do, but I want to talk specifically about this one weird story. I know we talk about stories a lot. That's kind of what we do here. But there's a dude in Florida who's originally from Long Island. And here's the deal. He got busted with ecstasy pills in the shape of Donald Trump's orange skull.
Oh, damn.
He's 23 and he's facing a pair of felony narcotics charges. But he had five orange tablets in the shape of Donald Trump's head marked Trump NL. I don't know what NL means because I'm not into that.
Next level.
Oh, I see. Do you really want to suck on Trump until it all feels like love? Is that what's going on here? Is that what's going on with the ecstasy?
Well, that's now we know it's what people at his rallies are being given before they go in.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I saw that and I'm like, that is weird, right? I mean,
well, it's actually 3D printing. You could probably make a pill press pretty easy. Like back when I was doing stuff like that, like it was expensive to get a pill press. You could get all the powders together, but if you wanted to press it, that's where like, they didn't just have that. You can just go to the local library and print up the 3D printer, your own little press.
Mm. It's
things we learn about Jason every week.
Right? I mean, 6 years sober, but, you know, God bless. So none of that. But, I mean, can you imagine the average club kid who wants to be rolling on MDMA wanting to put Trump in their mouth? I mean, it just seems odd to me.
Maybe he's an intel.
It's funny, like some of the, it's funny because like some of, I know one particular group of friends where somebody is in their 30s, late 30s, mm-hmm. does cocaine still, huge supporter of Trump, like MAGA to the, like, it is just so fucking ridiculous. Like just not to like
that Brian Krall, he's crazy.
That's all my improv friends.
I'm just kidding. Brian's well into his 40s now.
Yeah, he's well into his 40s.
Sure.
He's with us. He's on this side.
I don't know. I don't even know what side I'm on anymore. You start to think about it for a moment. And you're like, I don't feel that old. And then you do. Yeah, it's like, what happened? You start doing the math to when you got out of high school. Don't do the math.
Don't even think about that.
Don't think about the math.
Just be excited when the person, whatever it is like graduated high school before you. And you're like, oh, it's like anytime I hear somebody like, oh yeah, I graduated in 2015. Like, what the fuck? What the hell?
The really depressing thing is when I moved to Sacramento in 2007, the kids who are getting out of high school now were in first grade.
Oh, wow.
I've been in Sacramento that long. Damn. I was not supposed to be here that long.
Were you in L.A.? Was that the
I was going to L.A., and now I have a business here. So I'm here.
Sacramento, it just like fucking sucks you in, bro. Just sucks you in.
Mm. Next thing you know,
you're here. You're in Sacramento. You're
in Sacramento.
Yep. And you're not leaving. And
eating some tomatoes.
Well, here's the thing. And Sacramento has changed a lot in the 12 years that I've been here.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, man.
Particularly the beer scene. But the beer scene, that's the funny thing. If I go back to where I used to live, there's now a beer scene there that didn't exist 12 years ago, too.
Oh, there's beer scenes everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere.
It's a scene, man. It's a scene.
But there's a lot of other things that have grown there, too. I mean, the restaurants keep getting better, it seems. Like, you get new ones. Like, unfortunately, some of them go out of business. That means there's new restaurants kind of popping up. And it's all fresh. You know what I mean? Like, it's a year-round culture. It's dope. Yeah. It's dope.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I don't miss snow in the least.
No. No, I'm just saying that, like, I think that Sacramento gets a bad rap.
Of course,
because,
yeah.
Because, like, it's... People think it's not a big... Like, we are the size of pretty... We're bigger than pretty much any other capitals... Yeah, and sometimes largest city in the state, like
yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though.
Cheyenne, Wyoming is the size of Galt.
Yeah.
Well, so let me take you to Montpelier, Vermont, for a moment, which is a very small city, city in name only, really, and that's the capital of Vermont. In case you're wondering,
and Burlington's the capital, right? I mean, like the biggest city, right?
It is.
Yeah,
it is. But let me tell you this.
Yeah,
Redding, California, is significantly larger than the largest city in Vermont.
Wow,
it's not close. Not even close.
Yeah,
absolutely not even close. And the hometown buffet in Redding closed too.
It closed?
The hometown buffet.
No, get the fuck serious? Out of here. Yeah. That is...
Right?
Did they open up a Cracker Barrel across the street?
No. No, it's just the faded letters on the wall. Recently they lost their famous Dave's Barbecue, and now this.
What do they have there now?
They got a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll shock you. They got a Red Robin and a Red Lobster. If there's red in the name, they've got it.
They got it. Redding's Red Lobster.
Right. And the interesting thing is if you go to the downtown area, they are in a slow redevelopment.
Yeah.
And like the architecture there is kind of cool. It's right. A little bit older. And we went out, Leslie and I went out for drinks and dinner at this restaurant brewery called Final Draft, which is right in downtown. Are you laughing because that's the name of a script writing software?
Yeah, just everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it. Just
it's
like, all right. It sounds like I would see that some presentation on TV of like the big reveal and like, here's your new bar. It's Final Draft.
It's in an older building, but
yeah.
What we found out, we walked out of Final Draft and looked literally kitty corner across the street, and there's another brewery that just moved in there too. It's like Starbucks now. Wherever you go, there is another brewery.
People like to buy beer, man.
Oh, well, yeah. I love buy beer. So good. 6 years sober, Jason. Just saying. So, Trump. All right. So, we've all had that moment at work where we've just had enough of things and we want to do something stupid, but we have that little chip in ourselves that we don't do it. However, this guy did. It's an airport worker who works at a New York area airport. They're out of a job after slipping a note to a traveler that read, "You ugly."
Oh, this is wrong.
Neil Strassner was going through a security checkpoint at the Greater Rochester International Airport which you might travel through at some point, Jason, when a security guard handed him a torn piece of paper with those words scrawled on it. Now, Strassner said he only recently obtained a copy of the security footage that day from the Freedom of Information Act. He said, I called the airport and tried to get the information, and they said I had to talk to the county. I called the county, and they said that this was the only way to get it. So after he passed through the checkpoint, he began walking away. Strassner said he heard the worker yell back at him, you gonna open the note?
Oh, God.
He said, I was more confused than anything. I kind of just looked at it and thought that was weird. Now, Strassner lives in Rochester. He probably is ugly and travels weekly in his role as a technical coordinator. Said he was on his way to Wichita for a work trip the morning of the incident. He said he called the airport that afternoon to file a complaint and was advised to stop in with security when he returned later that week. When he met with his supervisor, Strassner said he got the impression the supervisor didn't believe him. The employee who handed him the note worked for VMD Corporation, a security company based in Virginia and contracted through the TSA. Strassner said the company promised to contact him about the episode by August 13th, and when he hadn't heard from them, he uploaded the nearly two-minute-long video to Reddit. Within 2 hours, he said the company contacted him, which he attributes to the power of the internet. Now, VMD did not immediately return a request for comment. TSA said the employee was fired. In a statement, they said TSA holds contractors to the highest ethical standards and has zero tolerance for this type of behavior. This instance, which involved a contract employee, was investigated immediately upon receiving the complaint by the traveler. The employee has since been terminated by the contractor.
Man, you know what, though? Like, fuck the TSA, man. Fuck all, like... I really hate the fact that they're contracting out workers, like they're contracting out those federal jobs to like some corporation.
Oh, they're privatizing government jobs?
I know, man. What? It's so fucking ridiculous. Like, yeah. Especially that, like, man, fuck all of them, man. Like, I really, like, the reason that, fuck you. Fuck you. It's not fucking fair, you fucking dicks.
Now, to be fair, Strassner said he will not allow this experience to sour his opinion of the Greater Rochester International Airport, which has free classic arcade games that he's a fan of. He said, I fly out of there all the time. They're actually a pretty good airport. Out of all the airports I go to in the country, it's one of my favorite.
Oh.
So there you go. Maybe next time you go to visit Chris's family, you can fly right into Rochester, Jason. They got free arcade games.
Let's see if we can.
Free classic arcade.
I would love to.
You ugly. Hey, you gonna read that note? It says, man, you ugly.
That is so fucking hilarious, man. Like,
hey, why you ain't got no alibi, you ugly.
Hey, you. You gotta read the note.
This is so amazing.
Hey, you gotta read the note.
not only do you feel the need to slip this note to somebody, you want to make sure that they read it in front of you so you can see their reaction.
Oh yeah.
And then you're like, what's gonna happen? By the way, if someone did that to you, Jason, if someone randomly slipped you a you ugly note, would you call to complain? Or would you just go, would you just give them the double finger guns and go,
Yeah. I'd be like, your mama.
I'd be like, just look at her and be like, you hit the nail on the head on that one. You hit the nail on the head. You are observing.
That's not what your mama said when she was sucking my dick.
Honestly, okay, here's the thing though. I fucking think, and I'm not saying this just to stick up for the person that called him, but that dude self-admittedly says he flies in and out of there on a regular fucking basis. All right.
And they're tired of seeing his ugly face.
And maybe he's a fucking jerk off. Maybe he's a fucking dick. And like, okay, she just finally had,
I think you may be onto something because he called to complain about that.
Yeah. So the guy's fucking dick in the first place.
Right.
So somebody called him on his shit and passed him a note saying you ugly. And like, I'm telling you, like, when somebody says you ugly like that, like, especially like, hey, you read the note? They're not saying that you're just ugly, but you're like an ugly person. Like, you are ugly inside, and you need to know. And it's too bad that it backfired on her.
The real punishment, well, what do you mean her? You don't know it was her.
It looked like it was a woman that was passing him the note.
I don't know. Either way, You know what I'm saying?
I thought it was. Yeah.
We've moved on from that. It doesn't matter.
Sorry. You ugly. Hey, look at your note.
And as punishment, they all have to continue to live in Rochester. So all those bad times.
Rochester isn't that bad, is it?
They were very bad times.
Yeah, right. Have you been there in the winter?
Yes, I have.
To Rochester?
Yes. We couldn't drive up. We went through the, we had a Honda Accord and we were going through the cemetery, which has Frederick Douglass is in there, Kodak's in there. Like it has like, just like this huge.
Hold on. Frederick Douglass is in there?
Is it Frederick Douglass? Who's in there? It's one of the.
Kurt?
Somebody. Sorry.
Listen, Trump. Frederick Douglass is dead.
No, I know. So he's buried there.
Just fucking with you.
You son of a bitches. Oh, I see. Fuck you guys.
Okay.
But yeah, we couldn't get up one of the hills because it was so snowy. we couldn't get into like every part of it because, yeah, and yeah.
Did you guys play Pokemon Go when it was all the rage?
A little bit.
Okay. Kareem, at all? Okay. I did a little bit for a while, and then I got a new phone around the time of my wedding, and I never put it on the new phone. Because it was a huge time suck. I mean, sure, it was fun for a bit, but then it seemed really pointless. And, you know, if you're doing it, I don't really care. That's up to you and your God and whatever you do. I wasn't aware that there were that many people still doing it. In fact, this one person got pulled over playing Pokemon Go on 8 phones simultaneously.
Get the fuck out of here.
There's the photo right in the car. They've got now when Sergeant Kyle Smith of the Washington State Patrol spotted a car on the shoulder of the road near SeaTac Airport, he assumed the vehicle was somehow disabled. But when he approached it, he discovered the male driver had pulled over while playing Pokemon Go simultaneously on 8 separate phones. Now, the photo that we can see right there, gentlemen.
Wow.
The driver had them secured inside a makeshift foam carrier rig. The driver cops say agreed to put the phones in the car's rear seat before resuming his commute. He was not identified by police and was not cited for distracted driving or any other vehicular violations. I guess because he was pulled over to the side of the road, you couldn't prove he was actually doing anything while he was driving. But think about 8 phones. 8 phones.
That's nuts.
I would have to, somebody with 8 phones, would you not assume they're a drug dealer?
Yeah.
You know what I do know? This guy was not black.
Oh, definitely not. He might not have been white either.
Well, that's true. That's true. He could have very well been Asian. Mm. I mean, or Hispanic, but I'm guessing Asian.
Could have been black.
Really? You think a black dude pulled over to the side of the road with 8 cell phones isn't going to get questioned for something more than just sitting there? Just asking. Do you really think that?
He definitely wasn't going to believe he was playing Pokemon Go.
I mean, it was loaded up on all of them.
It was loaded up on all of them.
That's the panic button.
Oh, it's porn, I swear. No, honey, I was watching porn on 8 phones at the same time. It was not Pokemon Go. I don't have a problem.
Right. Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, a suspect who used the stolen debit card to purchase a cell phone, beer, and cigarettes signed a sales receipt as thief. That's according to Pennsylvania court filing. Police report that the male suspect swiped a card from a woman who gave him a ride home from a bar last week. The debit card, cops say, was inside a purse in the center console of her vehicle. The victim, Joey Thompson, noticed the purse was missing the following day and filed a police report in Butler, which is a Pittsburgh suburb. But Thompson's debit card had already been used to purchase a $200 iPhone 6S at a Metro PCS store and a case of beer and a pack of cigarettes from Butler Beer and Tobacco.
Fucking porn, bro.
Mm-hmm. When cops examined the sales receipts for the two transactions, they discovered the purchaser signed his name as Thief. The suspect used the surname Lattimore during the iPhone purchase, which prompted Butler police to check a database that yielded the name Mark Lattimore, who matched the description given by Thompson as the male she gave a ride to. Lattimore record show has a rap sheet. Oh. Includes convictions for disorderly conduct, marijuana possession, reckless endangerment, possession of drug paraphernalia, public drunkenness, and making terroristic threats. But after police filed a 6-count criminal complaint against Lattimore, who's 28, of theft, fraud, and receiving stolen property, they withdrew the charges. Investigators now say the thief suspect used Lattimore's name during the phone purchase. Additionally, when a cop called the number assigned to the iPhone purchase with a stolen debit card, the man who answered identified himself as Mark Lattimore and provided the correct date of birth and address that we have on file for him. Now, Butler police did not return the smoking guns calls seeking comment about the withdrawal of the charges. This is crazy. Anyway, the update. Police have now charged Iwari Ellis with stealing the victim's debit card. In addition to the counts initially filed against Lattimore, Ellis is facing an additional misdemeanor count of falsely incriminating another person.
Damn.
Wow.
Kareem, you know what this is? This is black on black crime.
That is black on black crime.
Yeah, well, Lattimore should have slept with my girl. Yeah, that's what you get, Lattimore. Hey, did you read the note?
You ugly. You ugly. This is what's happening.
Man. Yeah, you fucked him up, man. Oh, man. Lattimore got fucked up.
Can you imagine? You're like, I got a resident. But at least the charges were withdrawn.
Yeah.
Although his mugshot still showed up on thesmokinggun.com.
Yeah, and good thing he fucking just like went like that. They didn't kill him. Fucking A, man.
Who didn't kill him?
Like the cops.
Okay. Now you settle down now. They don't kill everybody.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
All right. Alexa, call a bail bondsman. During an argument, a Florida woman struck her husband in the head with a thrown Amazon Fire TV cube.
Oh, damn. Oh,
shit.
That's according to police who arrested her on a domestic battery charge.
See on Orange is New Black.
You know what I can tell you? That one eye is looking in a completely different direction, my friend. In an alleged probable cause affidavit, Ashley Molyneux, who's 24, and her husband began arguing due to Ashley not going to church with him. Now, when Matthew Molyneux, who's 34, returned post-services to the couple's Bradenton home, the pair resumed arguing over Ashley hiding his weed. Okay, so it started as an argument over not going to church and then transitioned to her hiding his weed.
It must be a Rastafarian church.
Now, the dispute, cops say, turned physical when Ashley began throwing items at her husband. While some of the domestic projectiles just broke or spilled throughout the apartment, two of them hit their mark. An Alexa cube and a metal drinking cup both struck Matthew on his face and head, leaving him with a cut on the chin and a large knot on his head. Now, when the cops arrived at the couple's residence, Matthew did not want to press charges, saying, quote, it was just a number of things that got out of hand and should not have happened on both parties. Ashley, who accused Matthew of striking her during the confrontation, was then arrested on a misdemeanor battery rap, booked into the county jail in advance of a court hearing. She remains in custody, according to court records. Now, the $120 Amazon cube allows for hands-free voice control of your TV and smart home devices. Employing the fire as a weapon, however, is an off-label use. Ha, ha, ha.
You're going to have to label that now.
By the way, if you want to pick up your own, you can do it through the Shop Amazon tab at WTHpod.com. Oh, and by the way, you can listen to this show on your Amazon Echo, too. Just say, Alexa, play podcast, WTH podcast. It'll come up.
So now playing.
Oh, yeah. And it reads the title, too, which is fantastic.
WTH.
Meanwhile, a sovereign citizen, 33, threatened to bring a gun to a Florida Walmart if he found the toy car he was buying was broken just days after the mass shooting in an El Paso store. That's a very terrible long headline from the Daily Mail. A Florida man has been jailed after police say he threatened to return to a Walmart store with a gun if the remote control car he was buying did not work. Clearwater police say Rob Shaw, oh, the spokesman Rob Shaw, sorry, says police arrested 33-year-old Anthony Reed on a felony charge of making a false report about using a firearm in a violent manner. According to an arrest report, Reed made the threat on Friday, just days after 22 people were killed in a shooting rampage at an El Paso, Texas Walmart. Now, the report cited by the Tampa Bay Times says Reed may be a sovereign citizen, a term that refers to anti-government extremists who consider themselves not subject to any laws. At around noon on Friday, Reed was reportedly dropped off by his wife at a big box store on US 19 North, where he told an employee he's serious about his money and would come back with a gun if the car did not function properly. He said, if I get home and it's broken, I'm going to snap and come back here with a gun.
Motherfucker, you 33 buying cars at Walmart. Sit your punk ass down.
Yeah, you shouldn't spend your last $33 on a remote control car.
Well, here's the other thing. Just bring it back. Oh, they've got a pretty liberal. They've got a pretty liberal return policy.
Hey, read your note.
I'm a sovereign citizen.
Yeah, is that just an easier way of saying that? Like,
you don't get to just declare that the laws don't apply to you.
I don't want to pay taxes.
I declare bankruptcy. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Does not work that way. Anyway, so that's
It does not work that way.
That's Florida Corner. Quick question for you guys. Did you see what happened in Portland, Oregon this past weekend?
I saw some of it.
Okay. So for anybody who's unfamiliar, there were a few groups of white nationalists who decided they were going to roll into Portland, Oregon, and they were going to teach some people a lesson. And they were going to protest and do whatever. And Portland, Oregon, there's a pretty large Antifa population. For those of you who aren't familiar with what Antifa is, Antifa, while it may sound black or foreign, is not, in fact, black or foreign. Although you can be black and foreign and be part of Antifa. Antifa just means that you're anti-fascist. You know, anti-white nationals. Anti-Nazi. Hey, remember when the Greatest Generation thought it was okay to punch Nazis, that you were actually considered a patriot if you did that sort of thing?
Yes.
Now, the President of the United States and that Weasley fuckface, Ted Cruz, trademark.
Weasley fuckface, Ted Cruz, trademark.
Trademark. They are hinting at having Antifa declared a domestic terrorist group.
But they don't want to declare the actual domestic terrorists.
Right. And here's the other thing about Antifa. They're not really a group. They don't have meetings per se. And they don't just show up places. They show up places when fascists show up to say, that's not okay here.
Not okay, bro.
It's not okay here. So one of the pieces of video that went around, and it was spread around by Andy Ngo on Twitter, that I've seen in a few different places, and Fox and Friends aired the edited version, which shows one of the white nationalists being treated after he was hit with a hammer. Here's what they neglected to show was the fact that the bus full of the white nationalists stopped, was giving the protesters along the side of the road shit. People got out of the bus with a hammer.
You mean the hammer got taken away from you?
The hammer got taken away and used on him. But that's not what a lot of people saw. A lot of people only saw, oh, look at these violent Antifa people. This is what they do.
If you get your hammer taken, you deserve to get your ass beat.
If you bring a hammer to a fight and somebody takes it away from you, that's the contract. It doesn't matter what it is. If you bring a weapon to a fight and you lose your weapon, it can be used on you.
You lose.
Yeah, maybe don't do that.
That's right, Thor. If you're going to bring your hammer to the fight, Thor, make sure you keep that motherfucker wrapped around your wrist.
It's true.
It comes back to him.
Get a lanyard.
His sister Death destroyed it.
Now, one of the conspiracies that I read on Twitter, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but this one is an interesting follow the logic sort of thing. President Trump is hinting at declaring Antifa a terrorist group. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you're a member of a terrorist group and you get arrested?
You lose all rights and they can do whatever they want to you.
And they send you to Guantanamo in a lot of cases. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Antifa terrorist group, anybody who opposes him, Antifa, anybody who opposes him, terrorist group, anybody who opposes him, Gitmo. That was the theory I saw floated on Twitter. I think it's a very extreme viewpoint. Thoughts?
You're not going to, the first time, maybe not the first time, maybe not the second time, but the third time somebody gets arrested and thrown away, and their family, because somebody's going to, it's going to happen to somebody with money is what's going to happen. What happens to a family that has money, it's going to go up the court. And it's going to eventually be like, this is, they can't do this. Like, and it'll get shut down, but who knows how long it'll last. You know what I mean? Like that's, it's not, it can't last because it's not going to hold up in court. Cause it's not, you can't say that somebody's Antifa just because they were at a location. Like, and like you'd have a lot to prove, but at the same time, we're giving everybody all the information of everywhere we go and groups we like on Facebook and stuff like that. So, I mean, they'll build a case against you and who knows? I don't know, man.
Well, the fact that he's trying to find ways to not get out of office.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think he brought up the fact that he may not leave after 8 years or 4 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people working behind the scenes that are trying to figure out ways for shit like that. So I wouldn't put it too far past him.
It's an interesting, for lack of a better term, scare tactic. I think the whole point is if you say it out loud and you bring it up, then it makes it harder for that scenario to happen because someone has called it out as a possible scenario. Whereas if it quietly happens, then it's a little bit different. I saw a picture. I'm trying to find the picture that I saw that someone had tweeted, and it said, these are the faces of Antifa. And it was a black guy and a couple of people in wheelchairs at the front of the line. And they were saying that like it was a derogatory or bad thing. And I'm like, they look like the goddamn X-Men. I mean, that is, so that didn't make me, but I mean, again, for a lot of people, a black man and two people in a wheelchair, I mean, that is scary. I'm not quite sure why, but I'm still trying to find that photo. I'm not going to find it.
God, Xavier.
Yeah, right. But I was like, really? This is what's scaring you. It doesn't scare you that a group of fascists roll into town, or several different groups of fascists roll into your town to protect white culture or whatever that is. That doesn't bother anybody at all.
They're afraid that their woman's going to leave them for BBC.
Yeah. Anyway, I find it very similar to the God Hates Fags Baptist Church.
Westboro.
The Westboro Baptist Church. They would go around to different places and protest funerals, whatever else. And then counter-protesters started to show up and basically block them so people at these funerals didn't have to see them or would stand across the street from them in much larger numbers than they showed up in. And eventually, these people stopped showing up places. Now, the difference between the Westboro Baptist Church and, say, the Proud Boys is the Westboro Baptist Church wasn't an armed, angry militia. It was incredibly misguided religious family. And I use the term religious loosely, but that's the difference. The people who are white nationalists are serious about what they're doing. That's why they're taking bus trips here, there, and everywhere to try and say, hey, we don't like what happens in Portland because it's very liberal there. So don't live in Portland. I mean, I don't necessarily like what happens in Texas, but I don't live there.
Yeah, and I'm not going to move there either.
I'm not going to move there.
Not going to happen.
I'm not finding that photo I wanted to find. But anyway, the other thing is, if you show up where two rival groups are clashing and you get caught in the crossfire, don't post a pity picture of yourself because you got a little boo boo. Because we don't care about your little boo boo.
I told Chris that I wanted to go protest somewhere. I was like, but, and she's like, she said something about coming with me. I was like, no, if I go to this one, you can't go. It's like, I don't want you there. I don't want the kids there. She's like, then you can't go.
Oh, if the kids can't go, you can't go.
If I'm not allowed to go to that type of protest.
So Jason, not Antifa.
No.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
It's Marilyn Haggerty again. Headline class reunion, celebrate school years. Thanks, Marilyn.
Hey, Marilyn, come on, man. You just did this article.
The third week of August arrives with tomatoes and corn coming in from the gardens. There's talk of football, and there is a sound of school bells in the background. This weekend, the law school at UND is coming to order, and the Grand Forks Public Schools have put out in the small print a bid for snow removal. But summer isn't over until it's over. There are reunions for Red River and Central High School. A combined gathering of the classes of 1989 begins at 7 p.m. at the Broken Drum, continues Saturday evening at Shotgun Sally's, and there'll be a picnic with food trucks on site beginning at noon Sunday in Lincoln Park. Also gathering at noon Saturday in the park will be members of the Grand Forks Central Class of 2009. For them, graduation might seem like yesterday. Now they stop to wonder where the 10 years have gone.
We just had my 30-year reunion in June. 10 years ain't shit.
I didn't go to any of that stuff. Out in front of this week in the parking lot at Poplar's Music Store, there was a car with a license plate reading Music Maker, M-U-Z-K-M-K-R. Inside, the store's auditorium was full of teachers from the area listening to a band playing new music. There I found the owner of the car with the great license plate was Liz Harris, the music director for the school in Munich, North Dakota. Tuesday was the first day of a new music reading clinics for area band teachers. On Wednesday, a new choral music was presented, and on Thursday, the focus was on new elementary music and materials. Steve Ragan, among the band directors attending, has been at his work for 32 years at the Valley Edinburgh School. He's had 50 students from 5th to 12th grade in band and 75 in choir. Also among band teachers gathered to look and listen was Stacy Searle and her sister Jenny. Searle directs the band at East Grand Forks Senior High. Her sister has a band at Central Middle School. The new music reading clinic draws teachers from a wide area, and they work with guest clinicians.
And one time at band camp.
Right. And the cheerful people of the week are Denny Elbert and Anello Winger.
Oh, yeah, Winger, you're the winner!
That wasn't so much an article as I wandered into a music store, and here's what I seen.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Hey, Marilyn, did you read your note?
She's 93. Leave her alone.
You tell which one of us sisters you read played the flute. Which one of the sisters played the flute?
Well, if you ask nicely, either one of them will. Anyway, that'll do it for us for this episode of the WTH Podcast. Remember, you can support us by hitting that Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. Also, the Shop Target tab there does the same thing. And please tell a friend if you enjoy the show. Say, hey, listen to these three a-holes. They'll make you chuckle. And they might even make you think. And one of them used to be a drunk. But not anymore. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. We have grievances on Monday, and we're going to let you have it. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You're a smart motherfucker. That's right.